Hello, everyone. How are you all doing? This is Hour of Healing. We are in another week, and we are excited to bring to you a new thought-provoking topic as usual. Again, my name is Candace. I'm here with Dr. Joe. Welcome in, Dr. Joe.
Thank you, Candace. How are you doing?
Good, good, good. I know you traveled. I hope all was well.
All was well, yes. Very tired. Not much, I can say.
That's well. You'll be okay. You know, you're back home, so you'll be okay. But, you know, for the sake of you guys, you know, he still hopped on here to give you something to think about. So we're excited for today. Today's topic is going to be check your appetite. All right. So we're not on diet. Like I said last time, we're not trying to tell you to not drink no more soda or, you know, stick with, you know, hamburgers and stuff. But you'll find out as usual. We're here to challenge your mindset and to challenge, you know, your thinking process. So I'll hand it over to Dr. Joe as he gives us a brief background of what we're going to talk about today, and then we'll dive straight into the discussion.
Yeah, Sister Candace, thank you so much for, again, being here to host us each and every week. We really do appreciate that. Thank you, dear audience, for joining us today. So check your appetite. What is the background for this? Sister Candace, you know, beginning of the year, we talked about the fact that this year, by the grace of God, we will be tackling one of the most challenging topics that every single person who desires to do anything meaningful with their life will have to confront, and that is the dynamics of wealth. And when we talk about the dynamics of wealth, in our day and age, in our financially driven world, obviously, a chunk of that conversation will be centered on money, financial wealth, right? We can talk about health as a component of wealth, about our spiritual being. Our socioeconomic well-being is part of wealth. But the truth is, a bulk of the conversation, which we will have in a few weeks, will be centered on finances, money. Money is what makes the world go. Right. So when I sat down to think about that humongous topic, I realized by the grace of God that over the past couple of months, so far this year, almost every single conversation or topic we have had are things that are needed for you to be able to not just have wealth, but also to do well with wealth. Because a lot of people, once they have amassed wealth, especially financially, don't know what to do with it. And the reason they don't know what to do with it, Sister Candace, is because they do not take the time to deal with some of the things that, by the grace of God, we've been able to share on this platform. So we talk about motivations of life. What is motivating your desire to be wealthy? We talked about who is sending for you, helping you understand that in your acquisition of wealth, especially financially, there is a responsibility that you have to yourself, to your generation, and to humanity at large. And then we talk about things like, what are you becoming? So when you take all these things, I find that some of the reasons why people, when they have attained wealth, especially financial well-being, they are unable to sustain their character, their mindset, or their impact or influence is because in their pursuit of wealth, they don't take the time to deal with some of these things. And these things become the leakages that eventually causes them to leak their good character, their good manners, their good influence. And so the reason for this topic is, by the grace of God, I will help our audience to understand that a lot of the things that causes us not to have sustained success, sustained wealth, sustained well-being, sustained health is because of our appetite. We will find in the course of our conversation that your appetite is really something that was engineered by God to help bring sustainability in life and sustainability in relationships. Mm-hmm. We've already established the fact that these two things are very key or very cardinal for any meaningful success in life, whether spiritual relationships, marital relationships, friendships, corporate relationships, social relationships. So by the grace of God, I will help our audience understand today what our appetite really is about and why it is necessary for each and every one of us to check our appetite if we desire to have sustainable levels of wealth, impact, influence, and what have you. So that truly is what this topic is about.
Wow, that's very interesting. And when you were explaining, you made mention about something in terms of when you get to a certain wealth and when you get to a certain success, there is some things that leaks out. It's because you did not check your appetite, right? Mm-hmm. So my question here is it that your appetite was quenched before the success? Or it just, like, do you understand what I'm trying to say? Like, is it something that was quenched and then your success or your wealth just out of nowhere just brought it out? Or you never had it, but then when you get wealth, there are certain things you desire for that you have to put in check?
That's a very powerful question, Sister Candace. And the truth is, your appetite is always there. But there are certain things in the course of our conversation that I will share with our audience that will help you realize that though our appetite is always there, our appetite is not always the same. Okay. And it is this changing in appetite and our lack of awareness of this change or our mismanagement of these changes in appetite that eventually sometimes lead to our downfall. So in the course of our conversation, absolutely, I will be able to point out some of these things for our audience.
Wow. So check your appetite. What are we talking about here? What kind of appetite?
All right. Like you rightly said, we are not talking about going on a diet, right, or things of that nature. So let me go ahead and give the definition of appetite, and then we will be able to proceed from there, right? So whenever we talk about appetite, I believe that Webster Dictionary defines appetite as any intrinsic desire that is necessary for life. Any intrinsic desire that is necessary for organic life. And this is a very powerful definition. Why? Because you can infer from this definition, Sister Candace, that the very moment your appetite ceases, you cease to exist. And so let's take medically or physiologically. When someone goes on a diet, and the diet turns into a situation where they abhor food, we say they are dying, right? Okay. People who are sick and are unable to keep anything down. Right. Medically, we put tubes to try to feed them. We give them fluids. We do everything medically necessary to try to preserve their life. Why? Because they lack appetite. If they have appetite, we know that eventually they should be able to take in food.
Right.
That is speaking from a physiologic or a medical standpoint. Right. Now, it's very important for our audience to understand this, because the question I want our audience to be thinking about as we proceed with this conversation is, does the soul or does spirits have appetite? If spirits have appetite, then do they live or they are dead? Because based on our definition, and it's not even my definition, I'll give you my definition of appetite soon, but based on the definition of appetite from the Webster Dictionary, that an appetite is an intrinsic desire that is necessary for any organ to live. So if a spirit lives, then it presupposes that the spirit has an appetite. And if your spirit has an appetite, then you need to know, as anyone who desires to have any meaningful level of impact, success, wealth, influence in life, you must know the types of appetite you have and what those appetites entail.
That's very interesting. And you mentioned something about the soul and the spirit, you know, so I kind of see where this is going. Like you said, it's not, you know, physiological or whatever. It's more innate. It's more internal. It's more spiritual. It's more soulish, I should say. and then now we need to, you mentioned something about there are types of appetites, right? But I just want us to dive into the soul and the spirit appetite and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
You said there are appetites for the soul, right? The soul has its appetite, and then the spirit has its appetite. Now, in terms of success, we succeed for the benefit of physiological needs. Is that right? But then how does the spirit and the soul play a role in here? If I'm rich, you know, I can buy whatever car I want. If I could go on any trip, but what does my soul has to do with this? What does my spirit has to do with this in terms of its desires, my spirit's intrinsic desires to survive, or my soul's intrinsic desires to survive?
Wow, that's a massive and a very powerful question, Sister Candace. And the reason I say it's massive and also powerful is that that is truly the cusp of our conversation today. Because for you to understand the success that you are alluding to, the success that we enjoy physically, you must understand what drives our need for that success.
Right.
Because I've already established for our audience that appetite is what drives us. It's our intrinsic, innate desire.
Right.
So if you don't have the innate desire to be successful, if you don't have the innate desire to have money, you will not be driven for it. You will be dead to money.
Right.
And so to answer your question about the soul and the spirit,
right,
let's go back to the creation of mankind, right?
Okay. Okay.
It will benefit our audience to understand that we are spirit beings.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where does the soul and the spirit, in some contexts, they say that we are a spirit and a body. But biblically, we know that we have three components. You are a spirit that possesses a soul and lives in a body.
Right.
Now, it's easy to see the desires of the body. But where does those desires stem from?
Okay.
It stems from your soul.
Okay.
And where does the desires of your soul stem from?
Mm-hmm.
There are two main places that it stems from. Your spirit has its own desires, and that is easy to come to understand. So let's talk about the desires of the spirit, right? Or where the appetite of the spirit comes from.
Right.
The appetite of the spirit is what connects us, or the commonality that we have with our Creator, because He gave us a part of Him.
Okay.
He gave us a part of Himself.
Okay.
This might be a bit challenging, but I want our audience to stick with me. It will all make sense.
Right.
So we were created in the image of God.
Mm-hmm.
Does it mean that we were created in the image of a nose, a ear, two eyes? Is that what God has? No.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible helps us understand that God is spirit. So we are created as a spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So the appetite of the spirit, it's easy to identify. We will go through that in the due time, but I want to establish this first.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where does the appetite of the soul come from? You know, by design, God created humanity with these intrinsic desires because He created us to play a certain role in His creation.
Mm-hmm.
If our Christian followers will remember, He says that let us make mankind and let them have dominion. So there was already a presupposed purpose for our creation. And for us to be able to fulfill that presupposed purpose, we needed something to drive us. That is where our appetite comes in. So there are three types of appetite.
Right.
We have the human appetite,
okay,
which is the nature of man,
okay,
the nature of mankind. We have earthly appetite, or you can put Satan's nature. And we have...
Satan's nature is earthly appetite.
Yes, so let me put it this way. I think this will make it easier. So when we talk about appetite, our appetite really stems out of our nature. And there are three types of nature. We have God's nature, we have human nature, and we have earthly or Satan nature. These are the three types of nature that is influenced by our appetite, or that is characterized by the appetite that we have. Because if you are going to be alive to anything, you need an appetite to be alive to whatever that is. So for you to be alive to God's nature, you need an appetite for the things of God. For you to be alive in a human nature, you need an appetite for the things of humanity. And for you to be alive in the earthly or fleshly nature, you need an appetite for that. So what are these appetites and where do they come from? That is really where we go with our conversation.
So, but before we get in there, before we get into the natures of the three natures, basically, before we get in, I want to understand, is every human being connected to these three things? You did say we have three natures, right? So could there be someone on this planet who is not connected to their earthly nature, or not connected in any means to their God nature or human nature? We do have them, but I'm talking about connection. Is there someone, or is there an instance where someone is not connected to any of them?
So our nature is fueled by our appetite. And so you cannot be alive based on our definition. Remember, it is the intrinsic desire necessary for life. So without that desire, you will not be alive to these things. So there is no way you will have life and not have an appetite for one of these natures or all three natures.
Okay, so you can have one or the other.
You can have multiple.
All three.
And that's where our conversation is kind of headed towards today.
Okay, so then in my understanding now, I'm realizing that, okay, so the appetite comes from the soul and the spirit.
Correct.
And that's what connects to one of them.
And it influences.
All of them, right.
It influences these.
One of the natures to show up.
Yes. So it is very important for us to understand. That's why I said the topic is check your appetite. Right. It behooves us to sit down to see what appetite is influencing
what
nature.
Right.
Because if we don't sit down to assess that, we will be dead to that nature. And it's not bad to be dead to certain natures. But I will help our audience understand that there is a nature that if you die to, you may die permanently.
Right.
And that is God's nature.
It doesn't matter if you have an intrinsic desire for that.
Desire for anything, Sister Candace. If you are dead to that nature, everything about your life eventually dies.
Wow. That's interesting. Well, you know, you guys know me already. We're not wasting time here. So let's take a step at a time. So human nature, let's pick it up from the human nature. I'm intrigued to know which nature regardless of what desire I'm having, or regardless of what nature I'm kind of like bringing forth, It doesn't matter. There's one specific one that I may need, that may be essential to cover all or whatever. So I'm really interested to know that one. So let's just dive in, and we're going to pick up on the human nature. What is the human nature about, and where is that desire coming from, I should say?
Wonderful. So human nature, Sister Candace, did not come from any evil that humanity did.
Okay.
Human nature came as a result of our predetermined purpose in life. Okay. Remember that we were made to have dominion, which means our authority is derived. As humanity, no matter what we do, no matter how powerful we become, our authority is derived. If our authority is derived, then there has to be a nature intrinsic in humanity that will allow us to submit to where we derive our authority. So the things or the appetite that fuels human nature are the appetite that are necessary for our survival, our safety, and our dominion. I take it again. The appetites that we will go through as fueling human nature are the appetites that are intrinsically necessary for our safety, our survival, and our dominion in life.
Okay.
So what are some of the components of human nature? Submission is a human nature. We were made to submit.
To something?
Yes. Every human being was made to submit to something or someone. What is another appetite that fuels human nature? Obedience. Every human being, Sister Candace, was created to obey. You can think about anything at all and make any excuse as to the origin of humanity. But intrinsic in humanity is the appetite to obey. And so we spend our life and we are spent trying to find the right person, the right economy, the right government, the right influence to obey and to submit to. It's intrinsic to us. And another part, I will go through this one after the other, but another part of this is that one of the appetites that stimulate our human nature is that we are emotional.
Okay.
We are emotional. So we can get jealous. We can have envy. We can be happy. We can be sad. Human nature, though was given to us by God, is not a nature in God.
Okay.
So, for instance, God does not submit.
Right.
Not
right.
even to death. You read the Bible, he says, I lay down my life and I pick it up. He does not submit.
Right.
God does not obey. So even though he gave us that nature, he gave us that nature because he has all power. He has all dominion. He does not have authority because, like I said, authority has to be derived. God does not. Yes, he has power and dominion, but we have authority and dominion. He gives us power, so we have authority because our power is derived. I hope that makes sense.
Right.
For God to have authority, Sister Candace, God must have someone or something that he submits to.
Right.
Or something or somewhere that he derives his power in order for him to have authority.
Right.
But he doesn't derive it anywhere. And so in the Bible, in the book of Hebrews, he says that when God had made a promise to his people, he searched
in all of creation to see if there is someone greater than him that he will submit himself to. But he could not find any. And so he swore by himself.
Yeah.
This is powerful. Because you realize that that appetite that he gave us was an appetite that are engineered to help us survive, that are engineered to help us live in safety. And so if you don't handle this appetite well, that is where trouble comes in.
So God doesn't have emotions. They say he has, he's angry at you, or he's angry.
Yes.
It's not like you've heard these kind of things before and stuff like that. So that's not exhibition.
So that's a very powerful thing. It's not that God doesn't have emotions. God feels. And, you know, it's difficult to distinguish in our understanding feelings and emotions.
Right.
But truly, feelings are a response to what drives our emotions. So it's not that God doesn't have emotions, but the things that we attribute mostly with or to the emotions of God is really not an issue of feelings or emotions, but rather his just nature.
Okay.
For instance, there are many Christians, Sister Candace, who think that when they go to prayer, they have to exhibit or portray a somber attitude for God to see that they are most pitiful. But God does not answer anyone based on them being most pitiful.
Right.
He answers us based on his nature and based on his mercy.
Right.
So when his mercy is available for you, you will think that God answered you because you are pitiful. But right, it's really, he's not driven by that.
So he doesn't pity people.
It's not out of pity. It's out of mercy.
Because pity will be emotions.
Yes. So a lot of what God does with us that we attribute to emotions or feelings is really not because of that.
Right.
And so David said that I will rather fall in the hands of God because he is most merciful rather than fall in the hands of man who is wicked. Wickedness is as a result of emotion.
Right.
Mercy is not as a result of emotion.
It's nature.
It's a nature.
Right.
So we have things like jealousy. We talk about the fact that God is a jealous God. Is it really he being a jealous God, or is his just nature that makes us interpret him as being jealous? Because it's his just nature that causes him to pursue us with an endless type of love. And when you have rejected that love, there is really no room for you at his side.
Yeah, yeah. And I think with the nature of God too, I think one of the things we can also associate here is the fact that, you know, the whole point of Jesus coming and his death and everything, you know, the Bible says, we don't have a mediator who is untouched by our infirmities, right? So I believe one of the reasons of his coming also, besides saving and everything, is to connect to our, you know, emotions, to connect to the nature that he has.
Exactly.
Created, the and human nature in us.
Absolutely, yeah. Sister Candace.
Yeah. And so, yeah.
And that is very powerful that you bring that up, because you realize that without an experience of our nature, Jesus would not understand.
Right. Sitting at the right side of the Father.
Correct. But he has experienced the human nature. Right. He has submitted. He has obeyed. He has followed. He has been emotional, hurt.
Right.
And so now he understands truly what it means to be both God and human.
Right. And yeah, so I think it's very profound because it's the way we describe his nature is for us to understand him, but it's correct. Also for him to understand us.
Yes.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean he's like us.
No.
Right.
He is not like us.
Right. But it's just,
you know. When we talk about God's nature, which I believe we will talk about on our next week discussion, we will talk about God's nature and right. You will understand why God is not like us.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we can be like him. So, Sister Candace, for the sake of our time today, I want to tie in the human nature to our appetite. Right. And then next week, we'll be able to go into the God's nature and our earthly nature. You will realize that everything that has plagued humanity is because of this human appetite. Right. It is our appetite to submit and to obey that caused our fall to Satan in the first place. Mm-hmm. Sister Candace, the truth is when God created man, mankind only had two natures.
Okay.
The nature of God and the human nature. It is the fact that we did not check our human appetite that caused us to inherit a brand new set of appetite called earthly nature. And it is the earthly nature, my dear audience, that is at work in our lives until we get to the point of salvation. If we don't get to that point of being resurrected, which is what salvation is all about, dying with Christ and coming back anew to life. What are we coming back alive for? You are coming back alive, Sister Candace, get this. You are coming back alive now to the original nature that we had.
Just true.
Yes. So until you get to the point where you die, your appetite for the things of the earth dies. Remember, from our definition, the appetite is what you need to be alive. So when you die to the things of the earth, the things of the flesh, which I call Satan's nature, until your appetite for them die, you are not dead to his nature. So the whole thing about salvation from a Christian's standpoint is you are dying to a certain type of nature. And that nature is an earthly nature. And that earthly nature is fueled by certain appetite. We will talk about them next week. Until you die to them, you cannot have the God's nature, which also has its own appetite that keeps it alive. And so you can have your human nature because that was given to us. That is what makes us human. But God's nature and Satan's nature are things that are imparted, and they are always opposite each other. You can have two, but you cannot have all three.
Okay. So that was my question before. So you can have two, but you can't have all three.
You can't have all three because you will find that God's nature and earthly nature are just opposed each other. But the human nature becomes the conduit, the channel through which both appetites can express themselves. And herein, Sister Candace, lies the answer to that age-long question that David asked, that what is man that you are so mindful of? The reason why God is so mindful of us is the only way his nature can be exhibited is through our humanity. And for our humanity to have his nature, we must die to another nature. But I want our audience for now to understand that it is intrinsic for us to submit
And so it's easy for us to submit to a deity, for us to submit to a government, as long as we see the potential of it being beneficial to us.
Right.
It's very easy to obey and submit to any government at all if we see their policies to be beneficial to us. And so the reason why it's easy for us to obey, Mr. Candace, is because it's our intrinsic nature. It's needed for our survival. But this is where I sound the alarm that check your appetite. Check where that submission is leading you to. Because the policies of that government or the things that that person is doing might be beneficial to you at this moment. But if you don't check your appetite, you will submit or obey to your detriment, to your downfall. And unfortunately, that is where a lot of us are in life. That we have succumbed to this appetite. The appetite for affection is a human appetite. Sister Candace, you will find next week when we talk about earthly or Satan's nature, that a lot of Satan's nature is predicated on unchecked human nature.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, our time is gone, but I was thinking this human nature, though, is something that God placed in us, can really, really be a problem sometimes.
Yes.
You know, because I can see, like, the good and the bad in it, you know.
Yes.
But the thing is, regardless, based on the list we have in the human nature, regardless of where you are, what you believe in, or you are submitting to something or someone.
Absolutely.
You are obeying to something or someone.
Correct.
You have emotions about something or someone. And that's something that you cannot take away as a human being. But the question is, check what kind of submission it is, or what are you submitting to? Who are you obeying to? What are you obeying to? Or what emotions do you have, right? So
absolutely.
I will hand it back to Dr. Joe as we wrap up and then dive deep next week into the other two parts. And then I know we'll be, going back and forth to reflect
absolutely.
On, because it's a three-part nature. So we can't
correct.
Go without the rest. I hope and I know your mind was going like 360 miles per hour. So yes, this is Hour of Healing for you. Again, we'll see you next week. Don't forget to follow us on our social media handles. We have TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, Hour of Healing. Just put it in Dr. Joe Deborah and I'm sure you'll find us. All right. If you can't, just go to Instagram and message us.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Sister Candace. And I want our audience to understand that this is the foundation that we need to understand these principles about us in order for us to live a triumphant life. So you will find when we talk about success or the dynamics of wealth, especially when we talk about financial wealth, you will find that the reason why there is a lot of character flaws when we have great levels of success financially is because we are not checking the appetite that is fueling that. And whenever we amass anything in life, whether influence, money, or whatever, and we don't realize or we don't check in with what is driving it and the purpose for that accomplishment, we abuse it. And it is this abuse that leads to a lot of the world not seeing the true nature of God in his creation. We will talk a lot about our pastor friends, our Christian friends, when we talk about God's nature and Satan's nature next week. So don't forget to tune in. God bless you. We will see you same time next week. Bye-bye.